Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And welcome to Get It Off Your Breasts, the podcast that digs into all those issues really getting under your skin. I'm Leanna Bird.
And I'm Emma Gannon. And today we are talking about three topics close to our hearts. We are talking about being offended and whether that is right or wrong when it comes to comedy. We're talking about high street clothing brands and how women's sizes are totally extremely varied. And we're talking about email etiquette.
And to discuss all these things with us and so much more, we're delighted to welcome comedian and actress Lolly Adefope. Hi, Lolly. Thank you so much for coming
Welcome.
Over.
Thank you for having me.
And I have to say, we are also loving your trousers today.
Thank you.
Put a little
Thank
sunshine
so
into
They're like
the day.
Children's trousers.
That's why I like them.
Yeah, they're drawn by children.
Anything that looks like a child would wear it
yeah.
is definitely
Perfect.
Okay in my
yeah.
book. So, we have obviously invited you here to have a chat and to get something off your breasts. Mm-hmm. What would you like to talk about today?
I would like to talk about not a direct personal attack on Ricky Gervais in any way, but just the idea that being offended is something that you should be embarrassed by and shouldn't do, because I disagree with that.
Mm.
And just this like culture at the moment that being offended is like the weakest thing, when actually it's just a way of someone saying like, I'm hurting in a specific way and can't you listen to me?
Mm-hmm. So I don't actually know much about what's happened with Ricky. Can you give us a little bit of an
well,
update?
He just released a new Netflix stand-up mm-hmm. special, which has lots of, quote-unquote offensive jokes in it, like he was saying transphobic jokes. Lots of people are like of the opinion that a joke is a joke, and if you're offended by it, then that's something that you've chosen to do and something mm. you can decide not to do.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's just freedom of speech and we should be able to say things because that's our right.
Mm.
But I kind of think that, like, if... I think I said this on another podcast, actually, but, like, if a child comes to you and says, like, oh, this person punched me in the face, then you'll be like, oh, who punched you in the face? I believe you. Whereas for some reason with offence, I guess because it's personal and subjective, we just assume that the person is like has decided to feel that way and that it hasn't come from someone else.
I think that's so interesting because having watched Humanity the other night, I was questioning myself, like, seeing as, you know, spoiler alert, kind of, it's like transphobic, like it's dead baby jokes every 5 minutes. It's it's really, really offensive to trans people. Like having, like, especially when you personally know people who might be watching it and genuinely
yeah.
be, like, fully offended.
Yes,
I was,
exactly.
like, offended on their behalf, which yeah. I was like, that's weird as well. But
yeah,
I just felt really kind of bad about it all.
Mm.
I was like, oh, am I a snowflake? Because I was like, I'm offended by a transphobic joke. But then I was like, no, I think I'm just moving towards, like, an equal future. Like,
yeah,
I care about those things. I care about eradicating any form of, like, abuse.
Yeah. Because I think like, I was just looking at Ricky Gervais's tweets and he was like, oh, well, you know, lots of people make jokes about me being fat. That's like, blah, blah, make jokes about my mother's funeral and like all this kind of stuff. And it's like, there's a difference between like a very successful white straight man having jokes made at him and a trans person hearing a joke
mm.
that leads to, like, as we see, like the rates of suicide in trans mm. people, like his life isn't being threatened by people making jokes about him.
It's so true. So it's like, so what you're saying in a way is that if you are a powerful person, basically, then almost in a way you're, you, you know, it's kind of fair game, and you're, you know, you should be able to take it. You've got that protection around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas someone who is like on the kind of weaker end of the, you know, whether it be emotionally or personally, and hasn't got like a ton of money, a ton of fame, a ton of people working around them to protect them, then they are very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And actually attacking them or offending them and creating a sort of culture of negativity towards that kind of person as well is a kind of line that you think shouldn't be crossed. Because it's really interesting because you are a comedian as well. And I always think it must be quite tricky these days for people in comedy, because traditionally a lot of comedy has been taking the piss out of people.
Yeah.
And I was kind of wondering, like, how do you navigate that these days? Because it's so hard, especially with social media. Like, everything you say goes online, but I think that's a really good line. It's like, it's like, offend people upwards, like offend people more powerful than you, like take down Donald Trump, take down, like, you know, presidents and rich people and this and that, but don't look down, like don't look sort of down people who are like more vulnerable than you.
And it's not even just like, oh, we want to like take down the people at the top. It's like we want to piss people off and like take the piss out of people for what they're doing, and like highlight things that are going on rather than just punch down at people who aren't doing anything to you and like aren't threatening you in any way.
Do you think I was just going to ask, do you think that you mentioned the label snowflake, do you think that that is being used as a way to like shut people up and stop them saying, actually, genuinely, that has upset and hurt and offended me? Do you think that's kind of a very lazy sort of
tool? Scapegoaty way. Yeah, and also it's like, because obviously there's a very small population of people who would say that they are offended by things that they probably aren't, and like there are people who maybe take things too far, but they're so clearly in the minority. But I think there's now a culture of like trying to make it seem like that minority are the majority, and just like that idea of like, oh, we can't say anything these days, and it's like, you can say so many things, but if we make it seem like people are offended by anything, then we look like the ones who are being targeted for trying to like assert freedom of speech.
I mean, I find it so ironic that he is pointing out that people are being offended, because I got into a bit of a Twitter spat with him the other day because I criticised his show. And I said something so harmless. I didn't even at him in. I just said, Ricky Gervais's new show is really unfunny. He just reads out old Twitter jokes and explains old jokes. Like,
right.
That to me is the definition of not being funny.
Yeah,
you don't,
that's
like,
very
you don't
fair
explain
criticism.
Like a joke in a cracker, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a massive fan of his. Well, I was. Anyway, I said it's an hour of bad jokes. He retweeted it going, it's 78 minutes, actually. Which is, like, lame. But anyway, I got, like, loads of abuse. Like, really kind of horrible comments.
Because he knows what he's doing. He doesn't need to retweet you.
Yeah. And then
he could
his
say, like,
whole
oh,
thing,
someone did this tweet, and actually it's 78 minutes, but he specifically targeted you.
Because he knew that you'd get, like, the tweets up on you.
Yeah. And so his whole thing is, like, at the moment, his whole thing is, like, I'm getting material for my next show through Twitter. But what he's doing is he's, again, showing his power.
Yeah.
He's like, if you don't like it, I'm going to send my 13 million Twitter followers after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I read a review of his show on Vulture, I think it was, and basically the headline was like, is this the most thin-skinned man in comedy?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I don't understand.
The guy who's preaching about offence is... like,
can't take it.
Yeah.
Is sat at home freaking out over Twitter.
But it's
searching
interesting
his name on Twitter.
People use like the whole freedom of speech thing to say, you know, well, everyone's offended these days, but freedom of speech. But what I feel like people don't really understand that there are limits to freedom of speech, like even legally speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just say anything. Like within our, like, we live in Britain, there are laws in place and there are lines when you cross over something that you are saying that's offensive to actually something that's hate speech or even hate crime or inciting violence towards other people. Like someone on the radio was talking this morning and saying, you can't stand up in a cinema and shout fire because that has ramifications which could hurt people. So, like, freedom of speech is, like, a huge, like, a massive, like, we all have the right for freedom of speech, but it's something that you shouldn't take totally for granted, and it's not without its limits.
Yeah, it has consequences.
Yeah.
In comedy, though, is that, if you got a, you know, like Frankie Boyle, is it, like, you can sort of step outside of that? Like, how does it work?
As in, like, being able to say things that you shouldn't be able to say.
Yeah. As in, yeah, but with any of the comedians you know or your own work, do you find that the rules can be bent slightly?
I don't know. Like, I guess the best comedy is just like where the intention is clear and where we know what the comedian's trying to do. And like, even if you disagree with someone's politics, like, you can still find what they're saying funny if you understand like what they're trying to get out of it, I guess.
But do you worry that it'll go too far one day and that actually, in terms of in comedy, everyone will be kind of nervous and scared to say anything and it will kill some comedy? Because there has been some fantastic comedy in the past that you can look at that, you know, has been probably now you could look at as quite offensive. Do you think, like, I don't know, 50 years down the line, it might be that we are so sort of worried about what we say that it kills a lot of the comedy? Or do you think the comedians have to get a bit smarter?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, it's like, rather, it's like almost like similar to the Me Too thing. It's like, it shouldn't be about men thinking that they're scared to talk to women. It should be like, well, why do you want to talk to this woman? If you have good intentions of talking to this woman, then talk to her. Don't be like, oh, well, they've made me into this position of like weakness or whatever, where I now can't do these things. So I think it's just like up to everyone to like analyze what they're trying to do, like with their comedy or with their interactions with people.
That's so true. It's like having some sort of not conclusion, but like an action. Well, I went to see, oh my God, what is her name? I saw someone at Edinburgh 2 years ago and her whole show was about rape. It was a comedy about rape, which I obviously on the poster was like, not sure. Yeah. Oh, Adrienne Trescott.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like practically naked throughout the whole show. Yeah. And like, I never thought I would laugh at a show about rape. But the point of the show is to show, is to prove how ridiculous like the media talks about rape.
It's
not a comedy about rape. It's a comedy about society.
Which is what Chris Morris did with the, you know, the paedophilia, and they got in so much trouble. But actually, what he was doing was taking the piss out of the media's kind of coverage of paedophilia, and everyone kind of jumped on him. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, that at the same time, and I totally get what you're saying, and I think especially like the idea of offending and sort of attacking in a way people who are more vulnerable than you is really clear cut. But I also think that ideas shouldn't be ever above criticism. So there's like people who have to sort of get in their heads that when you're talking about things being offensive, like if someone offended my belief system or my politics or my religion, that is not the same as someone who, attacking a trans person or a person of colour, or a, you know, a rape victim. Like, ideas should be always open to criticism, even if they're offensive ideas. That's what I think anyway, but I think people shouldn't be open to that kind of criticism. Does that make sense?
Because feel like Ricky Gervais like should still be able to say all these things?
No, because I think what he's doing is attacking people. I think he should be able to, like, for example, I think you should be able to take the piss out, like Life of Brian when it came out was like everyone was really offended, but that's like, it's a religion, it's ultimately like, no matter how much you believe, it's beliefs, it's ideas. Whereas if you're like attacking like a trans person, that's actual human beings who have rights and who could be physically hurt by it. So I do think, like,
because Ricky Gervais's past shows have always been about like religion or about animals or about the planet, haven't they? And this one felt like totally too far.
I just think people are like people should be protected in some ways, but ideas shouldn't, if that makes sense.
Because I guess ideas don't have like a direct lead to necessarily harming someone, but
They don't. They're not humans. They don't have those rights the same as we all have rights as human beings. They don't have the right to be protected, and it's really important to be able to, like, I have, you know, I think a lot of things and people attack me for it, and it's, I like, I don't particularly love it. It's not that fun, but it's important because that's what, you know, we live in an open democracy, and that's important to be allow people to have those sorts of ideas, even if they are offensive. But human beings have rights, and they shouldn't be open to that kind of abuse.
I'd be really interested to hear, like, Ricky Gervais say, I made this joke about this trans person because of this. And just, like, what's he trying to do? I don't get it.
There's a whole sketch about how, basically, he got criticised for dead-naming Caitlyn Jenner, which is, like...
What does that mean?
So dead-naming means calling someone by their previous name.
And saying
Bruce Jenner, and the whole sketch is, like, playing into, I think, a really old mentality of, I don't get it, what is a trans person?
Right.
And I think, what for me, I always think you are a reflection of who follows you. And so the fact that Ricky Gervais has millions of people who are like, yeah, ha ha, like trans people, I'm like, you are, your following represents your ideas, and that makes me not want to follow your comedy anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just,
do you,
I was such a fan. I'm like, this is like, we were talking in a few podcasts ago, talking about like the artist and the art, and can you like a Woody Allen film?
Sure.
But I feel like this is my, you know, people are upset that they can't watch Woody Allen anymore.
Yeah.
This is my moment of like, I'm upset. Like,
but so would you now, is dead to me. Would you now not watch The Office though?
I love
The Office.
But he hasn't, like, Woody Allen is different because it's like he was the person the whole time.
Yeah.
Whereas that's The true. Office is an amazing show.
It's so good.
And it's almost better now when you watch it because of how.
And Extras.
Weird.
I rewatched Extras the other day.
Yeah.
I'm like making it about me. This is hard for me.
Are we gonna be okay? I'm like, we'll get you through this. It's like your breakup, isn't it? You and Ricky.
I also like fancy.
You're heartbroken.
Yeah, like he was my weird.
Oh no,
friend.
Really?
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't. I'm afraid, ladies. At this point, I step away from the circle. I just wanted to ask quickly before we move on: is when you're writing your own comedy, do you have that in the back of your mind now? More than say maybe a few years ago, like where you go, I just need to kind of like almost run this through a little filter and check that I've not crossed a line into.
Not really, no. Just because I just feel like as long as you can back up why you're trying to do something.
Mm.
So that, like if I'm writing something, I'm thinking like, okay, what am I trying to achieve with this joke? I'm never saying something and then backtracking and thinking, oh, was that offensive? It's like from the beginning, I've been trying to think what the end game is of and like what the outcome will be of telling the joke.
Okay.
And then
so it's that purpose, but then someone listening might not know your purpose, but I guess it's your job to
and if they don't get it, then we can have a debate about it.
There was a big story recently, and there was a guy who got done for a hate crime because he dressed his girlfriend's dog up as a Nazi and made him do Nazi salutes. And I mean I'm Jewish, and obviously like I don't think the Holocaust is anything to joke about ever, but I also think that was almost crossing a line whereby it's really not a hate crime. Like, he's not out in the streets trying to cause violence. He was basically trying to make his girlfriend really embarrassed because she really likes her dog and thinks it's really cute. And he said, I'm going to make it be the most disgusting thing I can think of, which is a Nazi.
Right.
But again, like, it's so hard, isn't it, that balance of like...
Again, yeah, that's again the thing of like, he's not saying Nazis are funny.
Or he's not... Or Jews deserve to be...
Yeah,
he's
clearly
attacked.
On the right side of like, this is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think it's like, again, that thing of making it seem like people are offended by anything.
Yeah.
So that people will be really outraged by that. And it's I don't know how many people who understood what he was trying to do would then still be offended by it.
Yeah. I feel like that's not a hate crime, that's just him being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't video that stuff.
And totally thoughtless and totally, you know, not considering anyone else's feelings or the history of what actually happened.
No.
But
yeah. Then it almost like changes when you like receive it like on Twitter as like this big story. Like, when I read about it, I was kind of like, oh, that's, like, an odd thing to do. But if someone said, like, oh, my friend's girlfriend loves her dog and he's doing this thing to make the dog seem terrible, I'd be like, oh, that's quite funny.
But
I get what he's trying to do.
But also, I look at, like, LOLO, right? I mean, they had, you know, comedy Nazis, basically. Mm. And, like, I'm sure there's so many other comedies that I can't think of the top of my head, but people have done that. They've laughed at the Nazis. They've made them look ridiculous. Mm. So,
Also, I think Ricky Gervais made a point once about... There's a line in The Office where David Brent says something about, like, oh, is he getting raped up there or something?
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like, a joke.
There's been a rape
in that
there.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's been a rape. And that's, like... That is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a rape joke, but it's, like, because it's David Brent...
It's not
and
a rape joke.
But it's... Yeah, and because it's, like... Yeah, it's a totally different joke.
Yeah.
Because
it's like what you're saying about Andrew and Trisco. It's not a joke about rape. It's about our responses to
how
things are portrayed.
Yeah. Well, that was...
Thanks, Lolly.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like we could have gone on that for hours, actually.
Yeah.
And I feel like we could have got Ricky on the phone. Right to reply, Ricky. Things got heated.
Oh, my God. If he's listening, he now knows that we, like, used to fancy.
Let's continue it on Twitter, Emma, seeing as you and him now have a little dialogue.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So my topic that I want to get off my breast is the fact that I've always been different sizes in clothes, and it's always been like, you know, 10 to 12, 12 to 14, like whatever, there's a range. But I find that clothing shops now, and mainly high street, it's gone a bit mad, and like, I just wanted to call it out a bit, because I'm a size 8 in Monkey, but I'm a size 16 in Topshop. And I don't care what size I am. I'm genuinely not that person who's like, oh, I'll buy it because of what the label says. I'll just cut the label out. But I don't understand how we've got to this point on the high street where like women don't know what size they are.
Yeah, and it
can actually cause quite a bit of conflict of just like, well, actually, it's just logistics when you're ordering online, to be honest. I'm like, what size I am, am I? But also, I think a lot of clothing stores kind of like do the whole vanity sizing where they basically make their clothes bigger to make you feel smaller, and like there's so much like tied up and emotions tied up in your size, and I just feel like, why don't we have just one size? Men have that, like they just measure themselves.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wanted to get
I do think Monkey have very odd sizing, really specifically odd. Yeah,
it's all very oversized in there. I'm not an 8. I know I'm not an 8. But I wonder if people go in there being like, oh, I'm an extra small.
Yeah, I wonder what... But then because they're like, Europe sizes are numbers, so it's all...
I have to confess, I've done that in the past. I've been in a shop and I've been like, oh, it's a size 10. Oh, I must be a size 10 right now. And then you get a little rush of, I don't know, endorphins, and you feel a bit good about yourself. And then because you're feeling a bit good about yourself, then you get a little rush and then you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think I have done that in the past, but even though I know... that the sizing is off.
Yeah.
You just can't, I don't know. It's just like, it's like the reaction to your body releasing some kind of high, I suppose.
Yeah, even though like you look really sick.
No, I know what you mean though. And actually I interviewed Trini Woodall recently, like, and it brought back all these memories of like Trini and Susanna and like how to look good and all this stuff. And I just feel like the high street, I think, should have moved on from these really bizarre sizing issues.
I feel like it's like...
like, we're all different sizes.
It's a conspiracy.
It's something to do with women, and like, everything is like made to, so that women feel bad about themselves. And like,
everything.
Yeah.
And also spending habits.
Yeah,
I feel like women spend so much money. This is also, this is related because it's to do with like shopping and buying. But basically, I've just realised... recently, and I don't know why it's taken this long, but like, to be a woman, like being a woman is really expensive, just in general.
Yeah.
Like the amount of money we spend on stuff,
and
I'm not like, I used to be sort of a bit more, I would like groom myself a bit more, now I just can't be arsed, but like, it's spenny.
Yeah,
like getting a wax, getting everything done, getting new clothes for stuff.
When you compare like haircut prices,
oh my god, because I have short hair.
I
asked if I could go into like the barbers.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you have to go and get like a proper girl's haircut.
Wow.
Which is like 3 times the price.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's haircut costs like £10. Mm. Mine costs like 50.
What wasn't there like a big thing recently? And I can't remember what it was, but it was basically they had like for women and for men versions, and they were exactly the same product, but the women's one was priced
that
higher.
Always happens.
It was Valentine's cards. It's Valentine's cards.
Oh, wow.
So if you were to buy a to my husband or to my boyfriend, it was more expensive than a to my wife, to my girl. Because they were like, women will spend more on Valentine's Day because they're more into the whole like love thing. It was
also
so manipulative.
The razors.
And razors,
And they're shitter for women. It's like plastic and pink,
whereas
men get like metal, sturdy.
Yeah.
But we could just buy men's, couldn't we?
Well, like, because I buy men's deodorants, it's cheaper. Men's deodorant is so much cheaper because it's just like, it just does
the
job.
It's deodorant,
I'll tell you one of the things in actual dressing rooms I don't like though, just going back to your original sizing thing. Do you ever find the stretch mirrors, like, do my head in? Because you try something on, and those mirrors, I know they're stretched, because I'm like, I don't look like that.
They make you look
like that. I do the thing where you bob up and down, and you see your body kind of, like, waving.
Oh.
And I'm like, I just actually want to know what I look like. Otherwise, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to get home, I'm not going to look the same, and I'm going to want to bring it back. And
I've had that before.
That's so manipulative.
I've had that before where I'm like, I get home, and I'm so confused.
because I'm like, this is not what it looked like.
Yeah, not what it looked like. Yeah. Half an hour ago.
I've been conned. Yeah.
Something's changed.
Nuts. Yeah.
But it is, it's all so, I mean, it's ultimately, it's money making, isn't it? And it's all geared to make us part with our cash.
Yeah.
And they know all the little tricks and all the little insecurities that we have as women that have been drilled into us about our size, about the way we look.
And if we don't do certain things, everyone else is doing them.
Yeah.
It's always that, like, also the way people who work in big department stores, when they have their training, and it's all about, like, placing it so that when you're moving down and
you
moving
turn
around
and stuff, all that kind of stuff.
And then when you're by the till, you, like, buy extra stuff. Yeah, but I'm part of this campaign at the moment called, like, Make Money Equal. I love that I'm just, like, plugging this, but why not? with a bank called Starling, and basically it's about exposing how the media talks to men and women about money. And women are always told to be like, rein it in, you're out of control, you're spending too much. There's always a woman tearing her hair out with a piggy, with a pink piggy bank.
And
like, oh, I'm such a mess. And then the men are always like, you have to be the man,
bling,
make sure
bling.
You're investing. Don't let women scrounge off you. To avoid divorce, it like expensive divorce. And it's side by side, this like semantics, semiotics, I think it's called when you analyse language. Anyway, they did this massive study, and it's like the way that we're both spoken to is insane.
Completely different.
It's like the 1950s.
My mum sent me something the other day, and I thought it was a picture of like a black woman with like quite a nice haircut or like quite a nice top or something. And I was like, oh, you're sending this to me because she's got nice hair. And then she was like, no, it's because she'd seen, it's like an advert for investment, but the model was like a young black woman, and she was like, that's so weird.
They don't use black women for things like with money.
I think just like the natural image that you'd expect for that kind of thing would be
a man in a suit.
Yeah, like a white man in a suit.
Yes,
I love that.
Would you remember which?
I can't find it.
I love that. That makes me a little bit more hopeful than these like
but
horrible.
There's only one, but
it's like one. We're like, praise them.
Hopefully it's a trickle. The trickle begins.
Maybe
that's part of your campaign.
What's the solution though with the sizing thing? Because obviously, especially because everyone's buying online now, you do need to have like some kind of sizing system. Because otherwise, how could you buy online? But what I mean, you were mentioning the men's. What do you think, we should just do it by like waist size or something, like inches?
Yeah, maybe we do. Maybe I just don't know what size I am.
I guess also because maybe women's clothes vary more in like what they try to like cover up or accentuate.
Also we vary more in terms of like
boobs and bum and
like thighs. You could have really skinny little hips but have like big old boobs, and then if you're buying a dress, like what size do you buy? That's the
thing. I feel like someone should have revolutionized.
I think someone is. I think I have heard about a woman, so my friend was telling me about it. It's like she's like making a factory or something where she buys in other stuff, but then she resizes it or something. I'll find out.
So like, homogenized. But maybe there should be guidelines. Like maybe like every high street, it should be regulated, the sizing. So like, you know, if you're selling a pair of trousers, you can't call something an 8 or a 16, just depending on the shop. Like maybe there needs to be like a universal system.
But also, this is another point I was thinking of is, I don't know about you, but I've always been quite judgmental when very sort of... like girl next door types become really big on Instagram, and I'm always like, what, why is that actually? Like, I never really truly understand it, and now I've realized there's a reason behind it, especially in the fashion industry. If you've got someone who is a size 14, has had two kids, and she has the same body type as you, you can follow her on Instagram and she can like tell you how it fits and like, is this too baggy? And basically you follow like people who look like you and body shape on Instagram, and it's like you've got your own like mannequin, and like that's why like influencers of like all sizes I think are doing really well, because I totally get it, and it's like people are very much like, oh, you tried that on, you're the same size as me, and I really like that.
I've got a friend, and one of her jobs is, so she does a few things, one of her jobs is she's a perfect size 10, so she literally is like the exact waist, bust,
lucky
and
for
hip.
Some. Like
I know.
My name is Lolly. Actually.
But they'll be a perfect size 16. They'll be a perfect size 20. Like there's, they're just, what it means is like your proportion, like hip to waist to boob, and then, but she'll get like flown out by like the high end fashion labels. to come and they will try the clothes and make sure they fit her perfectly, and then they'll know that that's a size 10. But that's like the higher. She's not, you know, she can't. Well, she's actually pregnant now with twins, so there goes that job.
But isn't that proving how backwards it is? Because this one woman fits into stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not. I think it's that they have already got the measurement of what a 10 is, for example, and that's what it should. That's what shops should be using. But I suppose they're not being regulated, so they can veer off it. And she just happens to be someone who was born with those exact. Right. Proportions.
Because I feel like a mannequin, though.
Yeah.
Sorry for your friend.
Also, what about if you're like a 9 or an 11?
Yeah,
that's just true. In betweeny.
Yeah. I need to get something off my breast now. So I kind of feel like this one may just be relevant to me. So sorry if it is. But I have found over the last couple of months that I've spent so much of my time chasing people on email. And they're not people that I would have thought, okay, I understand, like, they're traveling or they've got really busy lives. Okay, they have got busy lives, but they are in office jobs. They're being paid often by me. I'm the client. So I'm talking like, you know, if you have a lawyer or if you've got someone that, like, is the managing agent of your flat that you live in. So people that are like, they're getting these emails. You know that they're getting them and they don't respond. And I find it so insane and it drives me crazy. And I'll message them and then like 2 weeks go by, you don't hear anything. And then you're like, hi, just checking you got the blow. Be great to get a response and nothing. And you're going, what? Like, why is it the people who are like, I don't know. Like, is it something to do with like an estate agent or a solicitor or someone who's like in these like more traditional jobs that they just think that they can ignore
you. Maybe they've
got
a different time frame. Yeah. But I also think like, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like it's like ghosting, but like in a professional sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're being rejected. You don't get ghosted in like a dating world anymore, but you're getting, now it's like, you've got that. It's like, it's annoying when people don't reply to
and
you.
And actually what happens is like, this has happened a few times, like after like 6 weeks of not being responded. And I think I'm really polite on emails. I'm never like, why aren't you answering me? I'm always like, hi, sorry to disturb you again, but no. Like in a really kind of like overly polite way. And then eventually I'll just call the office and they'll pick up and they'll literally act like, oh, hi, sorry to get back to you. And then they'll be so nice and seem really proactive when you're on the phone and you're going,
it's gaslighting.
Like, even if you just send an email saying, busy month, I'll get back to you in a couple of weeks. At least that's something. You're like, stop ignoring me.
Just to play devil's advocate, you're very plugged in. Like, if I don't hear from you within an hour, I'm like, just because I'm used to that, because I think we're on WhatsApp, we're on email, we're on our phone.
So maybe
we're on a different, is it a generational thing?
I think like, I'm sometimes quite bad at replying to emails. Because, like, if I receive an email when I'm just not in the right frame of mind to receive it, I'll have forgotten about it by the time I should read it again. But I think after one reminder, I'm like, oh, yeah, wow, I should reply to that.
Yeah, and I think it's good that you are like that, because I don't actually... I don't encourage people to be always on their emails. Like, I think, you know, we're sort of talking about, like, boundaries and, like, having, like, self-care and like, all of that conversation is basically you being able to go, I'm not going to reply to anyone today. And I think that's really healthy. Yeah. But these guys sound like...
But this is the thing. So
really annoying.
But then I'm just thinking, is it me? Because it's happening all the time in, like, all areas of my life where I'm trying to just get shit sorted. You know when you're like, I need to just get this thing in my life sorted out. Like, it's annoying. It's, like, admin-y. It's contract, whatever. I need to sort it out. And I feel like it keeps happening. And I'm just like, is it me? Or is this happening to other people? And I do totally know what you're saying. Because, like, I am, like, super, like, responder on WhatsApp and email. Like, I respond really quickly. So my standards maybe are quite high. But there is a difference between someone not getting back to you for a couple of days and you getting annoyed, which I don't think is reasonable, especially if it's an email, and like weeks, and also you're paying them.
I think there's a difference between like you're actually chasing them for something, like there is actually an outcome that needs to be had. You know, I, on the flip side, like I can't deal with people that chase me on email, but I'm talking about like, are you interested? Are you interested?
Right.
Can we work together?
Totally.
And I'm like, the fact that I've not replied to you... The fact that I've not replied to 6 of these emails.
Yeah.
Do you know what you need to do? Have like, one of those automatic responses that send an email saying like, I'm a bit busy at the moment, so bear with me or something. You should send one being like, I'm really busy at the moment. If you don't hear back from me, just presume I'm not interested in your offer.
I'm dead.
And leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. That makes me sound like I'm inundated. I'm not. It's just, you know, when it's like a really spammy email and they're like, just circling back.
Just wondering.
hate that lingo.
Like,
just circling back. Oh God, no, but I'm that person doing it, going, did you receive the blow? Oh no, I'm the person hassling you. Sorry.
No, but no.
Sorry, solicitors.
I think that's different because you're not like a random stranger cold calling, being like, just circling back.
Yeah, you've got a professional relationship with that person.
Yeah, well, I thought I did.
I feel like they're all getting together and being like, let's not get back to her. I'd love it if they were all having popcorn listening to this podcast.
Okay. All together. So wait, is the conclusion that it is just me that this is happening to? Do you guys not get it?
Maybe it's a busy time.
Oh God. No. Okay, so I've brought up a topic to get off my breast which applies to one person, and that person is me. Sorry, listeners.
It's not just you, because when you call them, they're like, oh yeah. If you call them and they were like, I'm still really busy, sorry, then that would be kind of like, okay, maybe something's going on. But the fact that they don't really acknowledge the fact that it took them a month to reply.
I think more than anything, it's not even that they're not replying and therefore like I can't get the job done that I want to, and that, which is frustrating. I think it's that like I actually just feel like, my God, it's so rude.
Mm.
Like, to literally ignore someone's like,
you would never do that.
Yeah, and I just find like it makes me feel like you're, I don't know, like you're being treated a bit like nothing. And I find that weird. Like, and I understand like an email gets forgotten or whatever and people are busy and they take a while to get back, but when you're literally ignoring someone like again and again and again, I just think like, you just, that's really dismissive of me as a person.
And what do they think that you're thinking? Like, if they're not replying to the email, they should be like, okay, she's obviously going to be annoyed.
And they probably think that I'm being like a little buzzy, annoying fly, like, you know, just like, oh, get off my case and I'll do it when I do it. But
then
but they're quite traditional jobs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, as in, I can't imagine much is like massively changed in like structure or in like daily routine, because it's just, it's very clear what their job is.
Mm.
Do you think that they're just like get on the phone type people?
But then in which case, maybe just say, but then the other thing is when you speak to them on the phone and then they're all proactive and then you put the, and you're like, and you get off the phone and you're like, oh, they were so lovely and actually this is going to get done. And, da, da, da. And then again, it's just like they go underground.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for you to
get a better taste in who I work with.
Also though, because the thing that's happening to you is like a big deal that you want sorted out.
Yeah, and they've got a million.
Yeah, and like when I used to work like in an office full time, all that I was doing was putting off things until I could go home. So it's like, it's not important to them, even though it should be. But like,
so maybe that's why
it's like
almost, like, I find it rude, but it's just because, like, actually, they don't care. It's like, so dull what I'm asking about.
Yeah, I guess because, like, it's not a personal thing that they need to, like, fix.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, it's, like, a big thing in your life. Whereas for them, it's like, I can go home at 5:30 if I don't reply to this.
I also think, I so agree with that. And I think as well, when you're quite a self-sufficient, independent worker, like, you're technically, like, self-employed.
Yeah.
You're so used to just, like, getting shit done.
Yeah.
I think I have this, I do have this a lot, actually, with, like, projects that are, like, sort of outside of my control. I really struggle with, like, people getting back to me in 2 or 3 days, because I'm just like, oh, I would have done that already.
I think
like expectations can go up when you're so motivated. You have to be when you're self-employed.
Yeah,
but I think also because when you're self-employed, you have like a window, so you'll be like, okay, I've got 2 days now, and I can really focus on this thing.
Yeah.
And you want to get it done. And so when people are like really slow in getting back to you or like delaying you, it's like that feeling of like, I'm wasting my time, and now that time's going to go. And when they do get back to me, I've lost my window.
Yeah, totally.
I did this like little radio show with like Radio 4. It's called Word of Mouth. It's like really quite old school. Like, I was very young to be on that show, and it was all about email etiquette and sign-offs and like what's really gross and what's like a bit weird. And after that show, it made me really self-conscious about the way I email.
Oh wow.
Just like lingo. And
wait, what did you learn then?
I just learnt like, well, when people say like warm regards, like you're like, warm makes me think of like moist.
Or like when someone's like, dangerous territory.
When someone's like warmest, I don't know. It's really gross.
Suspicious.
And like when like you put a kiss, and then when someone puts a kiss, and then they, and then later down the line in the email chain they don't put a kiss.
Yeah.
You're like, also, do you now hate me?
They definitely do, because like it's mad to think that people aren't conscious of when they put kisses, because everyone 100%. Is.
But I put kisses on the end of everything.
Yeah,
like, I'll
fine.
Do it to like a counter,
if you
and
then
I
emailed me with no kisses, I'd be like, she wants me dead.
But I also like, I will reread an email and I've like sent an accountant and I've been like, lots of love, a kiss. Like, really inappropriate. And I do it on the phone, like to Vodafone. I'll be like, bye, see you, lots of love. And I'm like, why? I don't love this person. I don't know who they are.
That's hilarious. There's also a thing about like women in emails And I've like had to consciously like go through my emails now and not do this, but it's like we always put like just checking if I could maybe have this thing.
Like, could you maybe pay me? Maybe.
Yeah. Whereas everyone else is just like, can I get this tonight? And I'm like, hey, me again.
Just, do you know what though? I'm the opposite now, where I'm really brutal. I'm like, hi. You know, this needs to be done. And then I read it and I go, oh my God. And then I insert, have you had a nice weekend?
But I've noticed that, Emma, that you're much more direct than, and I'm, but no, but it's good. No, but in a really good way, because I like feel like I will write 5 paragraphs to get 1 point across. Maybe this is why people aren't going right to my email. They're too bloody long. But I will, because I'm like dancing around, like trying to say like, no, yeah, I'm the other
and
way
I
now.
Really appreciate this and da 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 da. And that is like, I think that is a real thing that's drilled into us as women as well, to like almost apologize for what you're asking for. And I think you're really good, because you just, it's not never rude, it's always like really polite, but it's just direct.
It's
like,
I'm honing that, so thanks. I need to learn from you.
I'm gonna get you to start writing my emails to my solicitors and managing agents.
You know what, I read a BuzzFeed article, as you do before you make a life-changing decision.
Always.
I was reading a BuzzFeed article, and basically it was called, I emailed like Hillary Clinton for the day and like my productivity soared. It was basically,
How does Hillary Clinton
is that direct, not rude, and like, because you know her emails got hacked. Like, and all that stuff. Basically, when you see the emails, she's very, like, just to the point. And the point is, I guess, is, like, busy people don't have time to faff. And so I tried it as, like, a little social experiment. And, like, I just get answers. I get things done. Like, people respect me more.
Stop the sugarcoating, basically. Yeah. Yeah. I'm such an apologiser. Yeah, sugarcoat. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, hope you're well.
Lolly, me and you need to get Emma to write our email.
But I have been worried recently, and I'm glad you said, oh, they never come across as rude, because you get such a high from like being direct and getting stuff done, you don't want to go into like abrupt, you know? There is a balance. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, Emma's on the emails again.
No, I want to high five you. I'm like, you're so powerful. So great. I want to say something really funny, actually, just on the topic of emails, just to kind of quickly end it, which is that I found that some of my emails are getting blocked at the moment, and it's because Get It Off Your Breasts is on my signature now as one of my like podcast things. Yeah, and so, like, it was this car company I was talking to, they were like, I'm really sorry, but we've been like alerted there's like something like lewd or whatever. And I was like, I don't understand what it is, and I realised it's in my signature.
That's why your solicitor's not getting back to you.
No, it's not. He's getting those emails. I know he's getting those emails. Get It Off Your Breasts has been getting my emails blocked, apparently, because apparently breasts is a rude word.
Is that a rude word?
Maybe because it's just like people sending like
breast pictures.
Sexual,
I told them, I said, you've got a very prudish system. Like, you need to have a word with like your technology. Your computer's a prude.
There's a lot worse things you can say. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lolly. So fun. And we always love to, leave feeling slightly better about life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, where can the listeners find you on the internet and like follow your work, and what have you got coming up?
At Lolly Gedefope on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, I think. And doing the Edinburgh Fringe in August. Doing lots of like previews and things.
Amazing.
What's your show called?
Lolly 3.
Nice.
Yeah, my favorite show.
Oh my God. How many lollies are going to be at the end? I love it. Like, at what point you'd be like, lolly 100, I'm done.
I love that, the regularity. It's like quite Adele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to that episode of Get It Off Your Breasts. If you liked it, please remember to leave us a review or rating. It really helps people discover us.
Don't forget, do click to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Get It Off Your Breasts.
And you won't want to miss the next one, because we're interviewing the amazing comedian Shazia Mirza, who you might have seen on Bear Grylls' The Island a while ago. She's amazing, and we can't wait to catch up with her and see what she wants to get off her breasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay. And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.